Amen. Thank you, Lord. We talked last Sunday, talked about developing a lifestyle of grace or gratefulness, being grateful in your heart. And I hope you took that, you know, to heart. Hope you are grabbing hold of that, because it's not something you can just, it's not something just happens all of a sudden. You can get a release when revelation comes. It can make you feel good. You can get a release. But the power comes when you're able to take that from that moment and that revelation into everyday life. Because everyday life will wear you down. It'll run right over your revelation. So you have to hang on to that and grab hold of it. And it's practice. We have to practice being grateful. Amen. We don't like practicing, do we? I'm not a person who likes practicing. I like to just, if I'm going to do something, I like to just jump right in the middle of it and tear into it, you know. And when I got to put something together, I take it apart, throw the directions over my shoulder, and I just start, you know. And then I usually go back and say, well, maybe I ought to look that up, you know. We don't like to practice. We like to, you know, I've all my life I've been thrown in situations of building things and doing electrical systems that have no blueprints, have no outline or anything, and bringing some structure out of that. And but when we talk about the things of God, we can get downloads. I mean, somebody can pray for you, and God and you receive from that person. But that doesn't mean it's going to last in your life, because you have to apply it and you have to practice it. And when everything says that it's not true, that's when you have to apply it. That's when you really start having breakthroughs. When you're not here, you know, with the worship team and everybody dancing and singing, and you know, when he called my name, I came out of the grave. It's easy to feel good about things at that moment. But tomorrow morning when you get up and everything in your life says that that's not going to happen, that it's not true, that your prayers aren't going to be answered, you're not going to have a breakthrough, everything in your life, and you continue with that, that's when you start having real breakthroughs. It goes from inspiration and revelation to manifestation. And when it comes to manifestation, you begin to experience that, the benefit of that, in your everyday life, and that's when your life begins to be transformed and changed. It's not transformed and changed when you receive something, when you receive an impartation or a power. The transformation comes whenever you're able to practice it and apply it in seasons and times when it doesn't make any sense to do so. Amen. We're talking about being grateful. Well, there's times that everything in your life says you have nothing to be grateful about. And yet, if you practice gratefulness, you are breaking through the powers of darkness and becoming illuminated with understanding of a spiritual principle that's going to take you beyond your circumstances. One of the things that this Brother Finn told me the other day, he said, look, he said, if you can't see your future as being bigger than your present, then you're not going to have the courage to let go of where you're at to get to where you need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to be able to see your future bigger than your present in order to let go of where you're at to get to where you need to be. Amen. It's got to be illuminated to you. It's got to be bigger than you are. It's got to be bigger than your thinking. It's got to be bigger than the circumstances that you're surrounded by. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, in the last part of chapter 5, and starting with verse 16, this is going to be a grateful lifestyle part 2. Pardew. We're gonna carry this on just a little bit more, because I believe that it's a powerful thing. If we want to walk in faith, you're gonna have to grab hold of what we're talking about, because faith does not operate in a unthankful, ungrateful mind. It simply does not. The two can't mix. They don't go together. And so faith is activated by a thankful heart. In verse 16, it says, rejoice always. You know what that means in the Greek? That's right. It means all the time, in every season. Amen. You know, one verse in the Bible says to be ready, to be prepared in season and out of season. Amen. Out of season means when it doesn't seem appropriate, when it doesn't seem like it's the season to be that way, you know, to be prepared. When I first started preaching, I was just a kid, and Pastor Jerry Haynes was pastoring here, and he had several young preachers, and on Sunday night was one of our big services. I mean, we love Sunday night. And on Sunday night, sometimes 30 minutes before church starts, he'd just walk by you, slap you on the shoulder, and say, you got it tonight, son. In other words, you're preaching tonight. I mean, just like that. And if you said, oh, I'm not prepared, he would always say the same thing. Well, the Bible says to be ready in season and out of season. He said, son, you don't ever walk around unprepared. You always prepare. And then he wouldn't ask you for several months. Give you time to get prepared. So I learned if he walked by and hit me on the shoulder and he said, it's yours tonight, son, I'd say, yes, sir. And then I would do 5 days of fasting and praying in 30 minutes. God, get me ready. Rejoice always. What is rejoicing? Rejoicing is not just, well, thank you, Lord. Rejoicing means exuberant expression. Exuberant expression. Amen. We was a lot more lively today, thank God. A lot of times we're just kind of a stoic bunch, you know? And we can't be that way. We got to get more exuberant, you know. Rejoice always. Exuberant expression. Amen. Hallelujah. I have to work on that. If I'm not careful, I am Mr. Serious, stoic, you know, stone face. And I have to really work on that, you know, get some expression. The average man only has 10 expressions. And then there are those that only have two. Some men only have two expressions on their face. That's it. Two. So that's why it drives you women crazy. That's why you're always saying, what are you thinking? Because you can't read us. You can't figure out what we're thinking. So you're always asking, you know, because we don't have a lot of. So I try to, you know, I'm trying to work on those expressions besides just the eye. I've got a granddaughter that everybody tells me has the same look that I have, and I don't know what that look is, but everybody recognizes it. But exuberant expression, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus literally rejoiced that God had withheld revelation from the wise and given it to children. And where it says that he rejoiced, the literal translation of that is that he jumped in the air and spun. Jesus got excited about something nobody else understood. He literally jumped in the air and spun in a circle and hollered. Because the people that was supposed to be wise was looking like a bunch of dummies. And the children, the ones that were ignorant, were receiving revelation. And Jesus got excited about that. How many know that heaven doesn't get excited about the same things we do all the time? Amen. The disciples came back to Jesus jumping and, you know, doing cheers and saying, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And Jesus sitting there like this, yeah. Don't get excited about that. What? You know, the disciples were pumped, and Jesus just got. Have you ever went to somebody and tried to testify to them about something, and they just look at you and you say, huh? you know, you're real excited, and they just go, yeah. Just throws cold water all over your fire, doesn't it? Because they haven't experienced it. They've not got the same thing. But Jesus said, don't get excited about that. Get excited because your name is written in the book of life. Get excited about that. In other words, what he's saying was, yeah, that's normal. Demons being subject to you through my name, that's just normal. But the excellent part, the part that is beyond comprehension, is that your name is in my book. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. He knows what a miracle that is. Amen. Jesus knew what it was going to take to get your name in his book. Amen. What an amazing thing. It was going to take him going above and beyond, paying the price for us, and then he was going to have to convince you to accept him. And he knew how hard that was going to be. So he said, don't get excited about demons being subject to you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Get excited because your name. Rejoice. Exuberant celebration. Amen. It's like some people, you know, do about football. I see somebody, and Black Friday. I watched some videos of people on Black Friday. It was the awfulest thing I ever seen in my life. They were fighting. They were trampling each other. They were shoving and pushing just to save a little bit of money on a flat screen TV that they're probably going to put in their garage because they don't have anywhere to put it. But it was a little cheaper. They were going to save some money. Think of the money they'd saved if they hadn't went there. Come on, somebody. But people get excited about stuff. I mean, there was outright fist fights and people tearing stuff apart over these little things. And, you know, I made the mistake. I forgot all about it being Black Friday on Thursday. Did you know Black Friday starts on Thursday now? I don't know how that works. Friday doesn't start till midnight, but now Black Friday has creeped its way into Thanksgiving. It won't be long, and we're going to have our dinner at 6 in the morning because everybody's going to be standing in line. Anyway, I'm going to get off this stuff. Not really, but I'm you know. Thursday evening, I had to run to town. Somebody broke into my mom and dad's car and knocked the windows out of it. Right at our house, at their house. And so I had to run to town. I finally got a chance, run to town to get some plastic, some duct tape stuff to seal up the windows. And I ran to town, not even thinking. And I got to Walmart. People were already lined up. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and people were already lined up. And I went into Walmart, and they had caution tape everywhere. They had stuff roped off, and they had people in there guarding the stuff they had out for sale. I mean, I don't know how many people they had to hire just to guard the stuff. And people are already lined up. Just you know, get out of my way. Get out. I'm gonna save $20 on that DVD. And I got in there and got out of there. And I said, oh, Jesus, deliver us. Amen. Deliver us from this spirit of greed. If some of y'all stood in line, I'm sorry. I hardly ever share my opinion about stuff, but I've just got to share my opinion about that. There was people already lined up on stores, you know, on sidewalks and stuff, lines of people on sidewalks. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to go to that store and put over the windows, church service starts at 6? See how many of them stay in line. You know, there's going to be a service before we Black Friday. We're going to have a church service. Thank you for standing in line for this. Woo! Glory. Rejoice always, all the time. I don't know about you, but I find that difficult. Is anybody else honest with me? I find that difficult. I'm not always wanting to rejoice. Amen. Matter of fact, when I start facing challenges, I have to watch it because I get heavy real fast. I mean, I get heavy. You know, I don't get down, I get determined. You know? And I start getting real closed in. If I'm not careful, I just start closing off from what's around me, and I get determined, and I get this fight mode going. You know, we're going to bust through this, and that doesn't exactly mean that I'm going to win, because that ain't what God wants from us. Amen. We got to stay open, and so I've had to learn to when I start getting heavy, I've had to learn to lighten up. Matter of fact, it literally means to rejoice always, you know, means to brighten up. Brighten up. You ever brightened up? You ever seen somebody brighten up? You know, just be solemn and all of a sudden something good happened and all of a sudden they brighten up, you know, your eyes light up. You know, all of a sudden somebody's home. Cha-ching. The lights come on. And so you brighten up. And so when you rejoice always, it just means to brighten up. To brighten up, to smile. You know? I brighten up. I love to preach. I mean, I don't know if you know that or not. Matter of fact, I've been doing this almost 40 years, and I enjoy it more now than I ever have. And the reason is because I'm not up here under pressure trying to get something. I'm just being who I am and just enjoying it. You know, I just enjoy it. I've lived this thing. You know, I'm on the backside. I've been stomped on, beat on. I've been buried, raised, resurrected. I mean, everything you can imagine, I'm on the backside of this. And I'm enjoying the journey now. Amen. It's like, you know, devil, you threw so many sucker punches at me, I don't even feel it anymore. Come on, I can shug and jive with you. You just enjoy it. You know, Damon and Betty, when they went to the Philippines with me, you know, when I'm in a place like that where there are people that are lost, don't know God, don't have any understanding, there are demon-possessed people there, and people that need healing. I mean, it's a challenge. And when I get around stuff like that, in places like that, I tend to brighten up. And a lot of people would get heavy. I used to do that. I used to just get real heavy, real, you know, just real responsible. And then I begin to realize that there ain't nothing I can do about it anyway, so I might as well just brighten up. If anything happens, God's going to do it. So I'm just there to enjoy the journey with Him. I'm just there to have fun with it, you know. And Betty Salisbury, when she went, first time they've ever been on mission field with me, and after the first couple of services, she said, "Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but you actually glow. When you get up to preach, you actually glow." And I said, "It's fun. You know, we're having a blast here, having a good time. Why? Because we're watching God do something. We're watching God work. We're seeing, we have opportunity here to introduce people to Jesus that don't know who He is. We have opportunity here to deliver people that are tormented, and after this service, amen." Now that's fun. But you have to also rejoice when you hear the 50 caliber machine gun shooting all around you. Amen. You're getting ready to leave to go do some ministry somewhere, and just a short ways from where you're at, you hear AK-47s. And then you hear, doo, 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 doo. There's nothing like those big guns. I mean, when you hear those, you know what it is. It's like it's the leaves in the jungle is just, you know, moving because those, you know what I'm talking about, Don. And you hear that. And when you wake up and you hear that and you know you're going to have to go out there in it and travel through that, then you get excited about that too. You rejoice because Jesus is with you. And you're going, amen. You might pray in tongues the whole time, but you're going. And a lot of times we're on motorcycles, so there ain't no hiding. Me and Sister Betty can't hide in places like that. I got this neon light right here. You know, and she's got that blonde hair. We just kind of glow out there in the jungle. There's nowhere to hide. So you just have to rejoice at that. Rejoice always. I wasn't even going to preach on this verse. We're getting a lot out of it, ain't we? Rejoice always. Another place Paul said, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. What was he saying? Rejoice always, and then when you don't feel like it, rejoice always. Amen. You got to learn to rejoice. Amen. And then he says in verse 17, just short little statements here, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? Well, it's something you have to practice. It's a learned behavior. You literally live in an attitude of connection with God. It's not like you have to just stop and find out where God is. It's you live in a constant connection with God. You're communing with Him. You're talking. Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're talking to the angels that are around you and saying, listen, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Amen. I talk to them all the time. Don't call the guys with the white jacket. I'm fine. But I talk to them. I tell them, and they work. You got to be where I've been. Amen. I've seen it in action. I know that they do this. I know that they help. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. I've experienced the interaction of angelic beings in life, in ministry. Amen. And it's awesome. And you realize that they're not here to be worshiped, they're not here to be praised, they are here to serve. And they're just waiting for you to activate them. Amen. How many of y'all say, man, I wish God would do something? Well, did you activate the things of God this morning? Did you talk to Him? Did you say, hey, come on, we need to do this? I need you to go before me and clear the path before Him. I need you to go behind me and protect me from behind. I need you to go on both sides of me. I mean, the Holy Spirit, it's always around. You've got to allow Him to speak to you and to talk to you. Amen. When we're out riding our Harley, a lot of times that's a time when I just kind of worship, you know. I know a lot of people think that'd be a tense time. It's not for me. It's a time of worship. And I worship and I think. And a lot of times I am developing sermons in my head while I'm cruising down the road. I mean, you know, God's talking to me. And it's the best prayer room I've ever had. And when I'm talking, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will interrupt me and say, hey, this guy's about to pull out in front of you. And I'll hit the brakes and start gearing down, and sure enough, right out in front of me. But I missed it because I was warned ahead of time. Amen. Was in Arkansas coming down the road and coming up to a gas station that had one island. And this pickup was parked. The road was here. The gas station was here. It was right there on the road. And there was a pickup parked there heading the same direction we were. You know, he had to pull out on the road. And a guy was coming out of the gas station going to get in his pickup. And Holy Spirit said, this guy's not even going to look. He's going to pull right out in front of you. And so I started slowing down. I started slowing down. And Damon and Betty was with me. I got on the CB and I said, this guy's going to pull out in front of us. Just back off of it. You know, we got to slow down. And so we start gearing down and slowing down, which, you know, didn't make any sense because we was on a long straight stretch. And we started slowing down. And sure enough, we got that gas station. That guy didn't even look. He just turned left and just whipped right out in front of us like that. And I had to lock the brakes up right at the end to keep from hitting him. But God is there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer, a connectivity with God. You should never disconnect from your Heavenly Father. You should never disconnect from Holy Spirit. When you're on the job working, you should constantly be in connection with Holy Spirit. Him talking to you, you talking to Him. Communion going on. That's how you pray without ceasing. It's not like you get in the prayer room and live there 24 hours a day and shut yourself in. It's while you're operating, while you're in active duty, when you're out there moving, you can have this connection with Holy Spirit that helps you to understand what's around you, what's in you, and He gives you direction. You can pray without ceasing. Because prayer is not just speaking. Prayer is relationship. Amen. Did you know sometimes when you're with your mate, you don't need to talk? You know, sometimes you can just sit there and you're communing. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to be conversing all the time to communicate. Matter of fact, me and Sister Betty, we got this Spock mind meld going on anyway. I mean, it's just weird. We know what the other person's thinking all the time. We've been married for, we're working on our 40th year now. Been married a long time, and we hear, you know, I'll say something, and she say, yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, it's just, we're just kind of on the same wavelength all the time. We've gotten used to each other, you know, and I don't know how to explain it, except it just happens. Just going to leave it at that. We don't have to do a lot of talking. There's times that we'll be driving down the road, we won't say a word for a long time. Doesn't mean that we're mad at each other. Doesn't mean that we don't like each other, because we're in communion all the time. A lot of times we're thinking the same things. You know, saves a lot of work. then there's other times talking is necessary. But pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you have to constantly be talking. Matter of fact, a lot of prayer is being quiet. Amen. When I'm praying, a lot of times I'll pray for hours. And a lot of that time I am listening. I'm not talking. I'm listening. I'm communing. And I'm hearing. I'm reverencing. You know, it's just a time with God. It's a time in His presence. And when I do talk, I want to make sure that what I'm saying matters. A lot of people think if they get in the prayer room, they got to come up with something to say, you know, and they got to pray real fast and real loud, or God can't hear you. I got to tell you something. God knows what you're thinking before you even say it. It doesn't take much. Amen. And when I do open my mouth, I want to make sure that I'm not just saying something. To be saying something, I want to mean what I say. Amen. Praise God, because there's somebody there listening to me. If we talk to our mates the way that we pray, they would stand there and, you know, thinking, are you okay? Is everything okay? Because we get scattered and we repeat things and we try to come up with something. Don't try to come up with something. Just commune with the Holy Spirit. Just spend time with Him. Amen. It's not work. A lot of people think it's work. It's not work. It is fellowship. Fellowship isn't work. Amen. When you like the people you're around, it's not work. Now, if you got attitudes about people you're around, then it's work, because you're having to try to cover up your real attitude and your real thoughts and trying to be nice, and that's work, you know? When you're standing there looking at somebody thinking, how did you even tie your shoes this morning? But you're trying to come up with something nice to say, that's work. You know, if you're thinking, do you practice being stupid, or does it come natural? You know, if you're thinking something like that and trying to hide that, then that's work. It's a lot of work for me, because a lot of times I'm just way too honest. You know, I say things that I wish I hadn't said. You know, it's just in my head, it just falls out my mouth, and I'm thinking, why did I say that? Woo! Thank God He has mercy. Sometimes I never know why I say things. I mean, it just comes out, and I'm as shocked as everybody else. My eyes is this big, you know. It's like, who in the world said that? Oh, that was me. Sometimes it's Holy Spirit just revving people up, you know. I've had a lot of breakthroughs and stuff like that, and I don't know how in the world Holy Spirit gets this across, you know, why this stuff happens. I really don't like it, because it puts you on the spot. I was sitting in the break room one day. You know, I'm just a contractor. I'm not even an employee. down at the marinas. I'm a contractor. You know, I just come and go. And I'm sitting there in the break room eating lunch, and one of the salesmen comes in. Young salesman, boat salesman. He comes walking in. Why I did this, I don't know. I act like I'm the boss of everything a lot of times, you know. Sometimes Sister Betty will say, you are so bossy. I say, honey, it's the greatest gift that God gave me. I have to exercise it. It's a gift. The salesman walks in, young salesman, hadn't been working there very long, and just out of the blue, I said, did you sell anything this week? He turned around and looked at me, and everybody in there was just looking at me. And he said, no. I said, well, go eat in your office. This is for working people that actually contribute. Why would anybody say something like that? I said, this area is for working people that actually contribute. And he turned around and walked out. And everybody's sitting there staring at me. And I'm looking at him, I go, why would anybody say something like that? I got up and looked at myself and said, what was that? The next week, I saw that young man and I almost hid. You know, I wanted to just take off. He came up to me and he said, man, I have got to thank you. I said, why? He said, you really shook me up. I said, I did. I said, I insulted you, actually. And he said, yes, you did. And he said, I needed it. He said, you know, I left there and I sold two boats that afternoon. Because he said, you helped me to understand that I was being lazy and wasn't applying myself. And I said, think that's good. Whole time I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, you interpreted for me in a big way, because he didn't hear what I said. But it shook him, and he has continued to progress. He's over his own area now. Don't do that. Now, some of you sitting there saying, well, I'm going to try that tomorrow at work. No, don't do it. Believe me, if I had had a chance to think about it, I would not have said that. But it just happened. There it is. Sometimes Holy Spirit just has to, you know, he speaks to you, and you're wondering, why did you say that? But, you know, somehow he got good out of that. I don't know how he could get good out of that. I mean, that was the awfulest thing you could say to anybody. And yet Holy Spirit got good out of it. So, like I said, don't do that. If something like that starts coming out of your mouth tomorrow morning, grab hold of your lips and hold them shut. I mean, just pinch them together. Because it might not work out like that did. Matter of fact, that's one in a million. Don't try it, okay? I tell myself that every day. Don't do it. Pray without ceasing. And then it says in verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. It didn't say for everything. I don't know about you, but I can't give thanks for everything. There's some things that happen that I can't be thankful for. And that's not what the word's saying. In everything give thanks. That means when things are going wrong, you don't have to be thankful for what's happening, but in the midst of it, give thanks. Give thanks. Why? Because if you'll give thanks, you will break the power of the enemy and darkness from settling in on you. When things go wrong, if you're not careful, darkness just settles in on you, oppression settles in on you, and you just release yourself to it. You wrap up in it like an old blanket, you know. Depression starts sitting in, and you just cuddle up with it. No. In everything, give thanks. And this is the most powerful part of all of it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Next time you say, I just need to know what God's will is, go back and read it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That is absolutely God's will for you. Amen. Hallelujah. What's he saying? God doesn't want you upset. God doesn't want you burdened down. Sometimes Christians think being long-faced and you know, pious is what God wants out of us. Now, Jesus wouldn't even attend that church. He'd walk out. He don't like that kind of stuff. Amen. I can't prove this, but sometimes I think Jesus was a prankster. Just simply by some of the things that happened. I mean, did you know angels will, at least mine do, they'll sit you up just to get you out of it. Yeah. Some of them are, anyway. I'm not going to go into that because I just felt just like that doesn't fit with our religious theological pronunciation of angelic behavior. God is not this mean, solemn, angry being. If you read the Word of God, there's worship and praise 24, well, they don't live in time, but if we put it in our vernacular, it'd be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always praise and worship. There's always exuberance. I mean, there's always just this atmosphere of goodness around the throne of God. And do you think God wants anything less for you? No, he does not. He wants heaven to come to earth, and he wants you to be able to live in that exuberant spirit. Amen. That exuberant feeling, that happiness, excitedness that isn't natural. How many know it's not natural to act that way? At least not here in the Ozarks. It ain't natural to act that way. Complaining seems to be the theme. Complaining. It's almost like people you know, they're not happy unless they get a good complaining going. I was in a store the other day, and miracle of all miracles, and I was walking down this aisle, and I went in. It was when I was looking for that plastic. I was trying to find that plastic, and there was a bunch of employees on the other side, and I mean, they were tearing it up. They were complaining and just tearing that down, you know, the other workers and everything, and I could hear them talking, and they were just going at it, and it almost sounded like they were excited. The things they were saying was terrible, but the sound of their voice is almost like they're having an adrenaline rush getting to do this, you know, getting to, woo, rip somebody up. I didn't do it. But I started to walk right around the aisle and start talking to them about a lifestyle of gratefulness. It would have been hilarious. It would have been awesome. But I didn't do it. But people seem to get excited about criticizing and complaining. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Amen. All you have to do is mention something political, and people start salivating, wanting to give their opinion about, goodness. Do we really have time to get into that? Do you have enough hours of your life left to spend it on something like that? I don't. Amen. I've only got enough time left to enjoy the journey. Amen. To be excited about it, to enjoy the journey. Amen. I've been convincing myself that I am not going to complain about riding on airplanes on this next trip. I am not going to do it. And I have to tell myself, I'm not going to complain about sitting in airports. We have one place where we got an 8-hour layover. Have you ever sat in an airport for 8 hours? 10 hours, 12 hours. And I ain't going to do it. I'm going to enjoy it. You hear me? As you can tell, the jury's still out. I haven't adopted that philosophy yet. I'm still working on it. Amen. But I'm going to enjoy the journey. When we live according to the will of God, God's will for you, we'll learn to rejoice. When you come to church, you know, you're here. You made the effort to drive up here. You know you're going to be here till close to noon. Maybe a little after. I think I could have sung that song when he called my name, I came out of the grave. I think I could have sung that until afternoon today. I mean, you know, I thought about getting Sister Val's attention going. You know?
Yeah.
Keep it going. But we come here, and since you're here, you might as well rejoice. You might as well enjoy. Did you know how much we enjoy this will be determined by our attitude and how much we put into it? If you come just to put in your religious duty and want to get out of here, you're not going to enjoy much. Amen. But when you come and just enjoy it, oh, the time flies. Mm-hmm. Amen. I was sitting up there on Dr. Finn's bed the other day, and anybody who knows me knows that I am extremely stiff. I mean, to bend and to turn is a job for me. And I'm sitting on his bed, and I'm turned like this, looking at him in the recliner, and we're talking. And pretty soon I looked at the clock, and I'd been sitting there talking, listening to him for 2.5 hours. And it seemed like 30 minutes. I jumped up and I said, oh man, I've been here for 2.5 hours. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to take up so much of your time. He said, no. He said, don't be sorry about it. He said, matter of fact, when can you come back? It's when you get to talking about the things of God, and when you enjoy what you're doing, the time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're not enjoying it, you know, 5 minutes seems like it's been an hour. You look at the clock. How many of you ever got down to pray and think that you've prayed an hour and you look up and it's been 12 minutes? You know why? You're not enjoying it. If you was enjoying it, you'd look at the clock and think it'd been 10 minutes and it's been an hour. Praise God. That's when it's good. That's when you enjoy it. Amen. There's been times that I've spent 5 hours in prayer and didn't know it. And I get up and look at the clock and I think, oh man, you know, I gotta get some other stuff done. But in those times is when I'm not worried, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just in the presence of God and I'm listening and I'm talking and I'm enjoying the company. Amen. Enjoying the company. Look at the person next to you and say, you know, I've really enjoyed your company today. Stand with me today if you would. Praise God. Rejoice. Everybody go, woo! Do that again. Amen. You're getting good. When we rejoice, people would freak out if you was on the job tomorrow and all walk, just walk along, and all of a sudden you went, did one of these numbers. Woohoo! What? And people say, what was that all about? Say, man, I'm just happy to be here. I'm enjoying life. Amen. They'd probably ask you, what'd you take? I took a pill called the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. I've been drinking on that Holy Ghost wine, and it's feeling good. Come on, somebody. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That is not a burden. That is an opportunity. That is awesome. You can wake up in the middle of the night praying. You know, there's been times when me and Sister Betty have woke each other up praying in tongues. I mean, in the middle of the night, just wake each other up praying in tongues. That's a whole lot better than having nightmares, isn't it? Amen. And then in everything, how many's got some stuff you're in right now that you really need to give thanks to keep it from overcoming you? You need to give thanks right now. Lift your hands, Father. Lord, we just stand here in the circumstances of our life. We refuse to become victims to the circumstances around us. And Lord, we give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Father, we just thank you for that. We just enjoy the journey, Lord, today. And God, we just rejoice and give thanks. We refuse to be overcome by that which is around us. But Lord, we will respond to that which is inside of us. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Let's spend some time doing some exuberant worship and praise today. Amen. Let's practice a little bit. Yeah.